Item number six, from the Director, Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture, requesting authorization to execute the exchange of lands in and near Falk Park.
Mr. Haley?
Mr. Chairman.
Would our guest introduce himself as well?
I would like to do so for you.
Good.
I'm Kevin Haley, landscape architect with the Parks Department. With me here today is Tom Blotz. Spent 35 years working for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, overseeing a lot of their grant programs. We brought him in recently to help us with this project. He retired a little while back. And having a lot of background knowledge on this whole Land and Water Conservation Fund WACON project, he's been able to help us through some of the mechanics of all of this. As you can recall, we've been here three times before talking about this issue. It's been sort of an incremental issue.
He's probably a 16-year-old.
I'm sorry. We'll just get going here. Last time we were here was in January of 2011. And we basically made a presentation explaining what we were trying to do with the conversion of the property for this park. I think it was well received. We were directed to come back when we were closer to the final deal for final approvals. That is why we are here today. Basically, what we've got, and I know many of you have heard this, so please forgive me if we go through this, but we've got a really unique park down in Oak Creek. It's known as Falk Park. It abuts the west side of Interstate 94, north-south, and it runs between Rawson Avenue and Drexel. It's about 217 acres, and it's a very nice mixture of mature oak and maple woodlands and some old agricultural fields. We have retained it as a park and utilize it mainly for natural resources, nature study. We've got some hiking trails in there, but it's not a developed park. And basically, we've found this opportunity to do a little bit of swapping around to acquire some really significant lands. Directly south of Drexel Avenue is a piece of woods commonly referred to as the Ashhanadel Woods. It's probably one of the most significant remaining undisturbed natural areas in southeastern Wisconsin. We got testimony last time from Sewer Pack and other officials. Very unique situation. We've got mature beech maple forests, wetlands, a lot of really great habitat, and basically we saw an opportunity here to acquire these properties while we can, because they could easily soon fall to development pressures. Our park and open space plan does recommend acquiring and preserving these lands. So with the blessing of this committee late last year, we began negotiations and going through the process for what's known as a WACON conversion. Long story short, when we acquired the park back in the mid-70s, several of the parcels utilized Land and Water Conservation Fund monies. It's a grant program for the acquisition of unique natural environments. And with that comes, when we acquired the land and did that, there's deed restrictions that were placed on it. Basically said, we can never sell or convey these properties. There is one exception, and that's what's known as a conversion process, and that's subject to a submittal of the appropriate information and review by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and the National Park Service. Thank you, sir. That if we can provide other parcels of property of equal functional and acreage and fiscal value, and it meets muster with the program criteria, we can actually go back and get authority to release the deed restrictions that were put on those other parcels and place them on these replacements. So it's known as a conversion, and I may refer to that. And thank you much. We'll kind of click through. What you see on the north is the current Falk Park boundaries, everything in green between Drexel and Rawson Avenue. And the areas that we're talking about, the Eschondale Woods, are comprised mainly of the areas to the south. When we were here the second time, basically a lot of the thoughts and the negotiation on this happened as a result of Wisconsin Department of Transportation reconstructing the north-south freeway here. There's an existing on-ramp at Rawson Avenue, which they wish to reconfigure and make narrower. As you can see, that's scheduled to happen soon. In order to construct a new on- and off-ramp at the Drexel Avenue interchange, they needed a little slice of parkland right in here. So we went through the LawCon conversion process, came before this committee and the county board. We're given authority to swap, and basically we've got we surrendered this two-acre piece and received about 6.5 acres of land here. Very nice woodland and ecological. So that's a done deal. I'm trying to show you the bigger picture here with the freeway and sort of what triggered all of this. You see the boundary of the park, it'll be more vivid in some of the other images. But because we're a parks department, this isn't just raw land to us. Part of what we're very interested in preserving and protecting and making available to the public is those quality natural areas. Here you see the green area, which is Falk Park as it exists today, and overlaying on it is this pink boundary. Well, that's what's known as an environmental corridor. And long story short, those are the locations where some of the most important natural resources are all aggregated. Water, woodlands, steep slopes, all the things that are very important to the ecology of the system. Well, as you can see, large portions of Falk Park are currently environmental corridor, which is part of the reason we acquired it. What we are also seeing is that environmental corridor extends well south of Drexel Avenue, and in particular this area known as the Eschondale Woods. Again, very high quality area, which is why our park and open space plan recommends that we acquire and preserve and protect that. So given that motivation, these are actually pictures, some of these you'll see. This is the actual woodlands and wetlands that we're proposing to acquire. So you're seeing some very unique situations here. Here is sewer path went in and actually delineated what they refer to as the Eschondale Woods natural area. It's the best of the best in this area. And what you're seeing is all of the dark business, that's all large mature trees and woodlands in through here. So it's a very nice environment, and it's a great addition to the park system. In order to capture it, we needed to go through this LawCon process. So what we did is we identified all the parcels in the area that made sense to us from a park's perspective. So this exhibit is just showing here the existing park. Here's the parcels that had previously been swapped with the Department of Transportation. And we did an analysis on it and looked at what are those parcels that we should be focusing on and potentially pursuing. So this is just showing the different parcels that we thought made some sense. Since we were here last January, we've been very busy. This is a federal program and has a lot of requirements for it. So what we did is, as I just alluded to, we went through this evaluation, if you will, to make sure that what we were pursuing was consistent with our park mission and our park and open space plan. We looked at many parcels, some which fell by the wayside, some which were very significant, and we made sure that we pursued. This is just showing you a summary of all the different parcels that we looked at. One of the requirements of the conversion program is that we perform a phase one environmental investigation. That's basically to look at it, see if there's the potential for contamination. Have there been spills, discharges, or dumping in the area known? We did work with DAS, Environmental Services people. They did a complete phase one environmental assessment of all of the parcels involved, ours and the ones we acquire, and basically got a clean bill of health there. We're finding nothing to be concerned about. The other big part of this is determining that the lands to be exchanged have a fiscal value and a functional value that are very similar. So we commissioned appraisals for every one of the parcels involved, both those we would receive and those we would get. We've got about 26 appraisals that were completed. Basically, the process, and these are the detailed appraisals that go into a great narrative about the parcel and the site. Those have been forwarded to the Department of Natural Resources that does the preliminary review, if you will. They have an appraiser who actually reviews and, if appropriate, certifies those appraisals. Those values then are utilized in evaluating the basis for each of the parcels. So the appraisals have been done. We've gotten probably better than half of the parcels have been certified, and we expect within the next week or two that we will have certification on the others, which basically specifies their value. Yeah, beautiful image of some of the ephemeral wetlands and woodlands that exist in this area. This is a summary of what the park would look like now. Basically, what we're doing is carving off this small piece here on the southwestern corner and these old agricultural fields that are basically sitting fallow now. Our proposal is to retain all of this significant environmental core of the woodlands and then acquire these parcels. So if approved, this is what everything that's in green is what the new configuration of the park would be. There's some other benefits that are coming along with this, but we're trying to focus right now on just the land transactions. So we are pretty much through the process. All the paperwork has been submitted. It's being evaluated. We anticipate hearing back from DNR and National Park Service very soon, which is why we're here today. We'd like to get final authorization and move ahead and consummate the deal, subject to their approval and yours, of course. What we had to do as part of the program, when we originally acquired the land, there had to be a reason and a plan. So there was a simple concept plan that was put together for the park, submitted with the LawCon application. We have now had to update this to show what we would do with it. And basically what we're showing here is, in green again, all the parcels that would be acquired. You see these red parcels here. These are others that we would very much like to have and will continue to pursue in the future because they provide additional benefit to the bigger package, but they're not on the table right now for various reasons. This parcel is currently owned by the Department of Transportation, for example. When the freeway project is done, this may be made available. This is a very nice parcel, but we have some environmental concerns there. These as well would be very nice additions to the park, in particular if something could happen up here, provide for great pedestrian access at more than one location. Currently, the only access to the park is right here. We have a small gravel parking lot and a nice park pavilion, and then we have this network of trails. What we're proposing is, the plan is very simple, a series of nature trails, maybe another parking area and access point here with some play equipment, but you're seeing no ball fields, no active recreation, the intent being that these are wonderful natural resources, and what we will actually do is grow them. So the lines were drawn very carefully to protect all the important resources, but also to provide areas where they can expand and naturalize and blend with the surrounding areas. So we believe we have a great opportunity here to not only protect and preserve what's there, but to enhance it. This plan just basically shows how we would do that and how we would provide basically pedestrian access to all these areas. Okay, a summary of where we're at. A lot of talk about how we got there, but basically we've identified all these parcels with numbers. Each of them has been appraised. We've had surveys done and plats or certified survey maps as appropriate, defining the exact boundaries of each of these parcels, and then pulled the whole deal together and looked at it in big picture. If I can simplify, right now we've got about a 217-acre park. This deal would add better than 35 acres to it. Of significance is that it's really high-quality natural area, the sort of stuff we should be having. For every acre of land that we would trade off, we'll be getting an acre and a half in return, and based upon the appraisals, the fiscal value is returning more than $3 for every $1 of parkland that we'd be surrendering. So we think all in all, it's a win. The acreage of the park increases. We're protecting this wonderful resource. The money is all balancing out, and if I might say, this whole deal has not cost the county a penny to date. We've put a lot of effort into it. We've got a lot of team members who are here to speak with it. They've been, as I showed in the slide, very busy for the last year getting to this point. We think we're there, and we're hoping that you can see our enthusiasm and support what we're doing here. So this is just a technical summary. A lot of this information is in the brochure you received earlier, but I think the important thing is to see that we're not only are we acquiring significant parkland, but it is truly significant and will be maintained and preserved for a long time. Here's a summary of the transactions, which you don't need to get into any great detail, but the partners are the City of Oak Creek. Let's go back here, summarize for you. This parcel here, A, is sort of the heart of the woodlands in this area. Currently, it's owned by Oak Creek. We've negotiated that they would convey this to us in exchange for this agricultural field here on the north side. The balance of the parcels are done in cooperation with Northwestern Mutual. In essence, what we did is we gave them a list of the properties that mattered that we were interested in. They went out and pursued potential acquisition and have acquired contracts on all of those that we're discussing here. So basically what they did is went out and acquired access rights to all of these parcels in here, which helped to make the continuity. And if you remember back to that pink blob that was out there, these are the bulk of the areas. There are some residential properties which we're not able to acquire at this point in time. In exchange for these parcels, in essence, we're trading to Northwestern Mutual this agricultural field here and this tiny little extension. They currently own this property. This would be a meaningful addition to their property. I will state that these lines were all drawn very carefully so that we captured and preserved the woodlands, the wetlands, the environmental corridors, and that area I spoke about to grow and expand these areas. So the lines were not arbitrary. Where we're at. Last January, we were here. I think we made the presentation. We've spent the last year getting the appraisals, moving through the programs. There's an environmental assessment, which, if you will, is the application that we submit to DNR. They do the first review. If it meets muster with them, they make a recommendation to the National Park Service, who would then give us the authorization for the conversion. That's pretty much where we're at right now. We are waiting on final approval of the easement, of the appraisals and all of the other documents that have been submitted, and are potentially within 30 days of consummating this deal, which is why we're here, and we're hoping that we can move forward. You can imagine there's a lot of real estate involved in this, and timing is very critical at this point. Some of the options and contracts that were had are nearing their expiration date, and we certainly don't want to get into a situation where we have to reopen those or potentially lose the options to acquire those properties. So with the blessing of the county board, we will work out the final details with DNR and LawCon and proceed with consummation of the deal, and hopefully by this summer have a new and invigorated park.
Questions by Committee Supervisor Cesars and Supervisor Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move approval of this matter.
The motion is to approve. Supervisor Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just out of curiosity, will any of this space be used for campgrounds, or is there any possibility for that?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, there is the opportunity. We're not proposing it at this point in time. Basically, this is intended, and our revised plan shows it as nature-based passive recreation. To be quite honest, we're looking at other sites, Bender Park in particular, some others that may have a lot better potential for urban campgrounds like this. This one would probably suffer from the impacts, the parking requirements. We don't have restroom facilities in the better part of it. So the short answer is we're not looking at potentially camping in this park site.
Okay. And just another question. This might be silly, but it's a question that I have. With open land like that, what is the potential of attracting certain types of wildlife like deer and, you know, I mean, is there a huge possibility in that area?
Well, it's actually an excellent question, if I might. That's what this area is all about. It is filled with deer, wildlife, just about everything that you can imagine, birds, raccoons. I'm sure there's coyotes out there. This is a very unique, mature woodland-wetland complex, and it is filled with wildlife. And that's currently how it's been used. A lot of people would just go to the north end, park in the parking lot, and wander those trails, take pictures, do bird watching. It's a big part of it. It's we're trying to preserve and enhance this, not just for people, but for the wildlife.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Sanfilippo, then Supervisor Jurczyk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noticed that, you know, let me start off by saying when this idea first came to us in the Parks Committee, I don't know if the first time we heard it, maybe it was 2010, if I can remember back that far.
2007.
No. All right, let me rephrase. When I was on the Parks Committee, I was very skeptical of it at the time, and because, quite frankly, what we're doing here is you know, we're trading, and I understand that the Eshon at El Woods is a very nice, you know, natural area, and it has value as a natural area. But from a development standpoint, and I'm no Donald Trump, but I understand that what we're doing is we're trading prime, very valuable, developable land that's alongside an interstate, right where a brand new interchange is being built, for some swampland. And the swampland happens to have some very nice trees in it, which is beautiful, but it's swampland. It's undevelopable, useless swampland, the majority of it. And I'm not sure we're doing the taxpayers of Milwaukee County a favor by letting somebody move in and take over a park area that we currently have and profit from that while we're basically bailing them out of some land that they couldn't make any money on. Now, the woods are worth preserving. I don't argue that point. But why is it incumbent upon our Parks Department, which is already overburdened, by trying to maintain the parks we have? We have a huge infrastructure, or excuse me, the maintenance issues, the deferred maintenance, that's what I'm looking for, and issues, and yet now we want to take on something else. And why doesn't somebody else protect this beautiful, pristine parkland? Well, the city of Oak Creek could do it. Northwestern could do it themselves. They could donate it as a state park. They could donate it to the Parks Department. I mean, what, we shouldn't have to take on another burden. And I say that it's a burden because we are still going to have to provide some type of maintenance on there. You basically have a useless piece of land right now that has potential for providing some recreation. I mean, I've heard people talk about maybe doing a Southside Urban Ecology Center over there. Hey, that would be actually a good idea, and it would be nice. But that takes money. Where are we going to get the money from to be able to stick in there? You're talking $2, $3, $4, $5 million to develop this park so that it can be used by the public. And granted, right now, we don't have a lot of development there that our citizens could use, but you have the potential with these open areas that we could put in soccer fields, baseball diamonds, a Southside Aquatic Center. I mean, these are amenities that actually will produce revenue for the Parks Department and pay for themselves. So you're taking that land off the table, and you're straddling us with land that we really don't have those options to at least provide a revenue stream for the Parks Department to help support themselves. And then on top of it, we have no money to be able to improve it. So at the end of the day, we're going to end up with this nice wooded area. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, I believe it's a very beautiful area and it's worth saving. But you're throwing it on the back of our Parks Department, who has no cash to improve it, no cash to maintain it, and forever it's going to sit there as a, you know, as this wooded area. And so I still don't think it's a good idea. We have not seen the appraisal. So to see any numbers to tell us that this swampland is worth three times more money than prime developable land, and again, you know, when the DOT approved that interchange on Drexel Avenue where there has never been one before, you just open up a whole value of property that was never there before. And it sounds like I'm talking against development, which those of you who know me thinks that's kind of odd for me. I'm not against the development, believe me. I'm all for the development and increasing the tax base. But we have to protect the taxpayers here. I mean, this is our first and primary job, and I just don't think we're doing it by giving away this land and changing it. You know, and then you have this nice booklet here, and so I guess my first question is, I'd like to see the appraisal. I don't know why we haven't been given it, or even a summary. If there's 26 of them, we haven't even seen a summary of the appraisal. We're just, you know, told to believe that this land is somehow, you know, what we have is worthless and what they have is worth a fortune. On page 6, it talks about corporate-funded amenities in your booklet, I mean, which is good. You know, it says the expansion of Fall Park presents the opportunity for park's employer neighbors to contribute their time, talent, resources to enriching the park. Down below it says examples of the kinds of contributions a private sector could make to Fall Park. As the expression goes, you know, show me the money. These are all great ideas, and we'd love to have involvement. But where is it coming from? There's no commitment here that there's anything coming from. So we can talk about, you know, how nice all these opportunities are there. But unless somebody actually shows us the money, again, if our Parks Department wasn't in the position that it's in right now, it might not be as big of a deal. But we have parks that the bathrooms are closed that I've been trying to get on Greenfield Golf Course. We have a bathroom that's been closed for years that we can't afford to fix. I've got lights out in Root River Parkway that the neighbors are calling me every single week saying they walk their dogs and ride their bikes and it's so dark they're afraid of getting run over. I've had the sheriff's department out there. They ticketed people doing 50 miles an hour speeding down there. So, I mean, we don't have money to fix what we have now. How can we take on an additional burden?
I can attempt to answer the question or two that I heard in there. One is to funding and maintenance. Again, much of this park, the majority of it, 217 acres, currently exists. We currently maintain it. We actually spend a greater level of effort maintaining some of these agricultural fields because of the weed issues. More importantly, what we're proposing here for this park does not require a high level of maintenance. It can't be developed. We can't put an aquatic center down there because the land is currently encumbered and that is precluded. All we can do is use it for nature base. And I'll get to value in a minute. But the reality is, Brian Russett and our natural areas crews have looked at this. They've evaluated. This is something that we won't need to put any significant effort into. There's no need to build parking lots, roadways, whatever. If in the future those opportunities present themselves and funding is in place, wonderful. But right now, our intention as a Parks Department is to hold and simply maintain these as natural areas. The holding costs, right now, all the parcels to the south are sitting there and no one's putting any effort into them. So the amount of effort that we'd be putting in is infinitesimal. It would be taken in stride with the maintenance we already do of the natural areas. There's no roads to plow. There's no lighting, no anything. This is all natural areas. That said, as to the costs, these appraisals, these are detailed appraisals all done by certified appraisers, pre-approved by the Department of Natural Resources. They know their business, and I'm not about to second-guess them, but I will tell you that they look at each parcel not as swampland or highly developable, but its highest and best use as they are required to do. These are being scrutinized at a great level, and I'll just suggest to you that all of the parcels we're talking about, if we just lump their values together, we're looking on the magnitude of $3.8 million in lands. So our land does have significant value. As it turns out, what we're getting is far more. 1.5 to 1 in acres and 3 to 1 in cash value. And that's supported by the appraisals, which we'd be more than happy to provide to you. We do have a summary of that. The reason we haven't distributed them yet is because, as I indicated earlier, they've been submitted to the Department of Natural Resources and are subject to their review and certification. So they'll be the ones that actually determine, yes, this is a fair value. All indications are many people, probably 5 sets of eyes have been on them already, and these lands are bearing out the value, and the county is coming out ahead on this.
I would like to just take a moment to note that present representing Northwestern Mutual are attorneys John Finnerty, Brian Randall, and Kevin Kennedy is also here from Northwestern Mutual. That sounds like a warm-up act for St. Patty's Day. and Mr. Doug Seymour is here from the City of Oak Creek, should committee members have questions that bear on those individuals. So, you wanted to continue?
Well, yeah, I was just getting on a roll there before Mr. Haley cut me off. You mentioned Parcel E, for example, on page 9, that it's, you keep referring to it as an agricultural field. Is somebody farming that right now?
If I might, Mr. Chairman, they're fallow agricultural fields, meaning they're not being farmed and they are not being utilized. They basically sit there in a crop and we're in a non-crop weeds and grasses, and it's incumbent on us to comply with weed ordinances and actually do maintenance on that.
And you mentioned that we could never use that land for anything. We couldn't put a picnic benches there, or we couldn't put an aquatic center there. I mean, this is a park that you can't do anything with.
If I can clarify, nature-based amenities, trails, walkways, signs, kiosks, informational things like that certainly are allowed. What is not allowed is development of the park for active recreation, which would be aquatic centers, baseball fields, and those things. The LawCon program, whose money we took, is geared towards nature-based preservation. So it's not out there to acquire parkland for us. We took their money. These are their rules. The lands are physically deed restricted, and we can't do that.
Okay. But we could do in an urban ecology center or something like that in portions of this land.
That's actually one of the many things that we have looked at, and is a great opportunity for down the line if we could find the right players and the funding for that.
So how do we find the funding?
Well, there's been some discussions. Again, we have a lot of very good corporate partners. As this area is developed, we'll have even more. We'll have neighbors. There's a lot of people that can help us out with this project in the future. But we're not committing to that now. This is simply about the land.
Well, yeah, but once you give away the one trump card we have, which is the land, you've got nothing to keep them to their commitments, no matter how general and vague they are. I mean, once this deal is executed, it's over with. So somebody can talk all they want of what, you know, as they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Now, somebody can have all the best intentions in the world here, but unless they're willing to step up and put their money where their mouth is, how do we know that these things are really going to come to fruition? And again, I just fall back to the point that you're going to saddle the Parks Department with another piece of property that they just, you know, don't have the capability of taking care of right now. And there is, you know, you can't say that there's going to be no maintenance. If you want to put trails in there, I mean, the idea of having a park system is not just to own a bunch of useless land. I mean, we want to be able to have things where our citizens can enjoy and recreate in them. So it's going to take money to put trails in here, to maybe put a couple of small camping sites, even if they're just areas where you have a bonfire in the evening or a picnic table here or there. I mean, all of those things cost money, and all of those things take maintenance. And until, you know, we see that we're going to be able to take care of this, and I go back to the point that you're talking about somebody acquiring some property that is in the ownership of the taxpayers, entrusted to us to take care of, that they're going to develop this land, they're going to make some money on it and turn a profit on it, which I'm all for profits. But the thing is, we have to make sure that the taxpayers are getting treated fairly in the end, and I just don't think that we have that yet proven to us. So there's no guarantee here right now. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Jersey?
question. Why the timing of this before the committee now? If I understand, you indicated DNR hasn't yet signed off on this and they're reviewing the appraisals. Why aren't we waiting for that?
Mr. Chairman? Basically because time is of the essence. As I stated, we get one shot at this. These lands are all primed for development, and if not secured now, we will probably lose that opportunity. More specifically, we have submitted the appraisals to the DNR. Better than half of them have come back certified. We anticipate within days. What's becoming critical time-wise is we don't have the authority to move forward and consummate the deal, if you will. The opportunity will be lost, and those options and contracts for the existing parcels will expire, and we could either lose the opportunity or start forever. So we are here now because we anticipate needing to accept and move forward with the program in very short order, potentially in the next couple of weeks, as we are awaiting those final reviews and approvals.
Please.
What is this artificial deadline like that? What is the date?
There's better than 17 parcels involved. And Northwestern Mutual has gone out at our request and solicited contracts to purchase them. So there's unique contracts with each that have been negotiated with the property owners. And those have expiration deadlines, as you're well aware. And they're quickly approaching.
Supervisor Sanfilippo did express concern about valuations. I too have the same kind of questions. I think I'm much more favorable to the project. It just seems that the timing is interesting. What was the date of the appraisals? Were the appraisals done after the planning of the ramp on Drexel?
Mr. Chairman,
everyone,
yes. In fact, some of these have been completed in the last week. This has been a formidable task, a lot of property. We've been at this for better than a year trying to get to this point. They were all based upon knowledge that the ramp would be there, the existing conditions. The appraisers looked at each of those individually and made comparisons. Again, it wasn't woodland versus wetland or developable property. They looked at each, as they should, for their highest and best value. And that's what's reflected. And we do have a summary of this. I'm just sharing you the bottom line numbers, if you will, and if you'd like to see the detail, we can provide that.
And maybe, Mr. Chairman, maybe to move this along, we could get that summary before the full board meeting. I believe that Mr. Haley's represented that we are getting fair value. It's no doubt, and I'm sure Supervisor Sanfilippo is correct, that this, especially Parcel E, is going to be very valuable land with the ramps there. As long as we've taken that into account, the proposal, I think, is one that is favorable to the parks, assuming we have really taken all of the values and approximated them. So if we could get that information prior to our March 15th board meeting, I think we could perhaps move forward that way.
Is that possible, Mr. Healy?
Most certainly. I'm looking at a summary right here which we can distribute.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Supervisor Dmitrievic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two questions specifically. Over and over we kept hearing the land, which I think is really, I don't think it's a swamp or useless land. I think it's a very pristine natural preserve that the county parks has had their eye on for quite some time and would be an addition to our wonderful park system. And I should say in the past, our Parks Department, even prior to Sue Black and prior to me being here, missed a lot of opportunities, some even in my neighborhood along the lakefront. And I don't think we can let that happen again. I think this is a unique opportunity. So that being said, there were also, kind of questions and comments around that this land would be, I don't know, an extra burden or expensive to maintain. Is there any financial cost? Is there any truth to that claim? Because I'm not aware of it. I don't see a fiscal note. How would that impact the county parks budget, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, again, the issue before us is the acquisition of these lands. We have no plans other than the concept plan of what it could look like someday to actually do development. Obviously, we would come before this body if we have opportunities in the future, funding, partnerships, whatever that may be. Right now, our intent is strictly to preserve these and continue to manage them, if you will, in stride with the rest of our 217 acres of natural areas. It's a small increment that our natural areas crews feel that they can certainly handle.
So, Mr. Chairman, that appears to me to refute that claim that there would be this enormous amount of money and maintenance that would have to be poured into it when, in fact, it would be adding to our over 200 already acres of natural land. Number two, more specifically, I think it's also been said that Milwaukee County would then, in this exchange, the developable land would, that we're missing out on an opportunity there. Well, to my knowledge, and after reviewing specifically some of the DNR documents, there, to my knowledge, is under no scenario where Milwaukee County could ever develop that land. In fact, the only way to even move forward with that type of land would be through this type of switch or exchange. Can you expand on that a bit more?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor. There is no way to get, if I can simplify this, to get cash out of this process.
There we go.
We cannot sell anything. It's all encumbered. All we can do is trade it for like or better. There is no way envisioned, and I could read you chapter and verse from the LawCon program, but it cannot be done. Conversion is the only way that Lawcon lands can even be disposed of, and it's only by identifying things of better functional and fiscal value.
If I, Mr. Chairman, I'll conclude here. I believe I really want the members of this committee and this county board to hear that. So the only way, due to federal law and regulations, that Milwaukee County can even exchange this land is once the federal government, and who I believe has opined, that we are getting a better deal and more pristine and valuable land than what we currently have. That's the only way that this can even happen. And
right.
So I think that that's really important to get on the record, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Very good. Supervisor Haas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question with regard to the map and some of the areas under consideration, but first let me preface that by stating that I think these forest reserves are much more valuable than any parking lot will ever be. Parking lots, in fact, have minimal land value and return on the investment that goes into them. These will be treasures for us all to enjoy. That said, Mr. Haley, I had a question. I'm looking at the map of the land swap. There you go. Do you have one with the lettered areas?
Here they are.
Okay. I'm looking at, for you, the audience here who are looking at it, the area just south of the yellow boxed area, that is along Drexel Avenue. 20th Street then bisects the area under the original Falk Park boundary. And I'm curious, specifically the areas between, there's Section B on the west, northwest, yeah. Section A in the south, and then G on the east. Looking at those, I think there is some private properties there along 20th Street. But what of the area, say, west of 20th Street that is between, on the map, Section B? That appears to be similar condition, but I don't know. That's my question.
Would it be this spot right in here, the gap, if you will?
Indeed.
Chairman, this is a parcel we are very interested in, as I indicated.
Okay.
With our preliminary investigations of the site, it appears in the past there has been some dumping. Until we can get our arms around that and know the exact extent of the potential liability to the county, we're not going to pursue it in the future. If we find that it makes sense and we find a way to acquire it without unnecessary liability, we would come back for this. It does show there were actually several parcels on one of the exhibits. We've got other parcels in mind. What we're trying to do is keep this a very clean deal, and certainly in the future, if great opportunities arrive, we'll be back here talking about it.
Very good. Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Sanfilippo?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to clear up something Supervisor Dmitrievich said. I don't know if she was trying to mischaracterize what I said or she just wasn't paying attention. But I never said that we would develop for profit any of Falk Park. The point being is that this is a valuable land for development. And if you take a look at the Sewer PAC's plan from 2000 when they went and revisited, Sewer PAC says that we should reactivate the undeveloped Falk Park to reach its full potential as a major park. Now, to me, that means you've got to spend some money and put some amenities there for people to use, whether we do it on the land that we presently have or whether we do it on the wooded land. And it's going to be much more expensive to do it on the wooded land than it is to do on the land that we already have. And, I mean, this isn't the only opportunity that could exist to try to make some type of a land swap. The Archdiocese is trying to sell the Cousin Center over there. That has the Seminary Woods on it. That's a beautiful tract of land, too, that when Cardinal Stritch, I think, talked about buying it, everybody was up in arms. They wanted to preserve that area. Maybe the Archdiocese comes to us next week and says, hey, we'll swap you some land, and we'll give you all of that over on Lake Drive. I mean, you know, I think Supervisor Rogers is at the point, why are we being rushed into this? Well, I think we're being rushed into it probably is because the purchaser has some deadlines that they have to meet on some contracts they have to purchase some other property, and it has nothing to do with us. So we're being forced to make a decision on something that really is, you know, it's not our fault that they're not prepared enough for their deal. And I keep going back to saying that this is going to cost us some money to develop. It doesn't do us good to have a piece of parkland that people cannot utilize. If we're going to have a park, then we should make it to, so that people can enjoy it and utilize it. That's going to take some money. I haven't heard anybody come out forward yet and make a suggestion as to how we can raise the funds that we need to do what we would like to do, and even what Sewer PAC is recommending doing, is that we put this park to use for the people, not just have a bare piece of land. Thank you.
Supervisor Cesars?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm interested in a couple of members in the audience, if they might choose to come forward, particularly Mr. Finnerty and any representatives from Northwestern, to just talk a little bit about their vision as a corporate partner in our community as to the efforts that they've taken to help assemble this whole package to bring the goal before us as a potential possibility, and without, you know, leading them any particular way, give them the floor, Mr. Chairman, to maybe address some of their visioning, their goal for the benefit of all the members of our community, as well as maybe other specific plans that they might like to share with
you,
us.
You preempted my intention.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Gentlemen, would you introduce yourselves for our listening audience?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Attorney Brian Randall of Freebert, Finnerty, and St. John. As Supervisor Cesar has mentioned, John Finnerty is in the audience, but he left the big stack of documents on this one for me to wade through. So if there's something specific, he can step up. But I'm here with Kevin Kennedy, who's with Northwestern Mutual. And Kevin is primarily responsible for putting a lot of these issues in this deal together. So we'll be happy to clarify a couple of these points.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can address several of the questions raised, and they're good questions, and I'm glad they're being asked, both as a taxpayer, but also as the knowledge that I've got from working at Northwestern Mutual. We were, I guess it was 2007. I wasn't sure of the year. I was going to go back and look at my file. When the county approached us, said, "Hey, let's look at activating the park and doing something there," since we built our campus west of this piece. We met a couple times back then. And the light bulb went off in our head, saying, "Hey, this might be a neat opportunity. Our goal is to make this whole area where our campus is. We've got a lot of money invested. We want this to be a very nice area in the long run, not 10 years from now, but 50 years, 100 years from now."
Kevin, this is, just to interrupt real quick, this
right.
is the Northwestern Mutual Franklin campus. 27th Street divides Oak Creek on this side and Franklin on the west. But this is, as Kevin talked about, their investment is the Franklin campus, which has how many hundred...
About 2,000 people are located there now. That actually was an outdoor movie theater, if anybody remembers back then. It was a gravel parking lot.
41 Twin.
Right, the 41 Twin outdoor movie theater. It was a gravel lot. I'd encourage anyone to drive by it today and see what it's become. It's a huge complex that was converted into a prairie, a very natural location with ponds and prairie grasses. And actually this year we're planning to redo the prairie because we weren't happy with how it looked. We do have a commitment to this area to make this a natural location. What our vision is, we bought some land across the street to really protect it. We didn't want a car dealership going in there, frankly, and we said, no, we don't want this to be that type of area. We wanted to make sure it's a natural, pristine environment. So we did start buying land across the street. And to your question of what our intents were, was really starting to talk about activating the park, what we could do. And then we stepped back and said, well, let's look at this as a master plan. Let's not look... We talked to the county and said, let's not look at where the property lines are now. Let's look at where the property lines would be if you could erase all the property lines. Where would you like the park to be? I didn't know anything about the Eschon Adel Woods. I'd never walked that woods. It's kind of, it's not necessarily easy to walk into. The county raised that with us based on a sewer pack study that was done maybe many years ago. We said, oh, that's very interesting. So the park very quickly became, well, we'd like to move it down south where all these wooded areas are. Where we came in was, well, we know the county can't really go out, and this was nine separate landowners, and convince nine separate landowners to all sell on a certain date. That's something that we're probably better off at doing. So I literally went to kitchen tables and met with people, and many of these people actually live there now. It's part of their property that they've owned for many, many years. They have a keen interest in making sure this is a nice area. What we did was talk to them and say, we need an option to buy your land. We weren't planning, and we aren't planning. If this doesn't go forward, if you decide not to do it, we'll let those options expire. We won't be buying those pieces because, to us, we don't want to be involved when the woods get cut down and converted over into something else. That's not really what we want to do or be known for in this neighborhood. We're much happier doing what we did with the outdoor movie theater and converting it back to a prairie. So I met with people. None of us, I don't think, have been through a LawCon conversion. Kevin Haley has been taking the lead on this whole process. This is new to us. It's a legal issue with the federal government, not something we're comfortable doing. I was told about a year and a half ago that it will probably take a year to complete. We need to do appraisals. The DNR needs to approve it, and the federal government needs to approve it. Those are kind of black boxes. The DNR is more understandable, but the federal government, I've never worked with the federal government. We haven't done that at Northwestern. So they said about a year. So I went to all these homeowners and said, we need a year and a half. So the timeline that you're questioning is really, I just took an added 50% more time to it. Said, well, you need a year, you think? Let's do a year and a half. They will start, one of the questions was asked when they start to expire. It's June through August. They'll all expire. I'm very concerned. The timing issue, I'm very concerned going back to a number of these people saying, well, we've spent, you know, the appraisal fees, as was mentioned earlier, the county hasn't incurred costs for this. We've paid for those costs. We had nothing to do with the appraisals you hired. We said we will pay for them. A consultant that was added, Mr. Blatz, was up here earlier to help move this process along. We'll pay for that. Do what you need to do from your end. We don't want to be involved in the appraisals at all. I've never met any of these people who did your appraisals. It was done by the county, but we're paying for it. But if this land starts to expire, I can't go back to these homeowners, or I'm very worried what's going to happen. They're going to say, well, you guys have spent a lot of money here. As your concern was, we've got you over a barrel. I want another zero added to that dollar amount. And what we spent a lot of time doing with your staff was looking at how to make this emerald necklace concept came up. How do we connect all these pieces? We want to make sure potentially there is the ability to put a walking trail in to connect all these pieces. If we lose, it's very small in there, but a parcel F that's called, we lose connectivity. It's one little, like 1 acre piece, but we needed to get that to buy, to make the connection. So that's one homeowner down lower. Here, I can, it's, can't get it to go on. There, right there, right there. It's a small little piece, but it's part of a family's home. And we said, we need to buy the back, way beyond your backyard. It's about 1,000 feet deep lot. We need to buy that back piece to get connectivity in there. So I walked it with them. We figured out, okay, where the property line's about so that you can have the ability to put a path through there. If we start to lose just a couple of these pieces, we lose that connection, which was, I think, important to everyone, that you have the ability to have people be able to go for a walk, whether it's a trail or natural, and walk through this whole piece. So that, I'm trying to address some of the timing issues. It was really, we added 6 months to it, just thinking that would be the timeline. I'm worried that people will start to say, well, I decided we want to keep it now. And then we'll start to lose these. So that's really the intent there on the timeline issue and the cost issue.
Thank you very much. I think that resolves some questions in the minds of some, at least. You know, we're not dealing here with Acme Incorporated. This is, after all, Northwestern Mutual, one of the primary responsible corporations in our community. And I think based on their past performance, some trust certainly should be extended here. We have one more individual who wanted to be heard from. Thank you, gentlemen. Yeah,
thank you.
Question by Supervisor Santoro.
I'll keep it short.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, and I agree with the chairman. I mean, you know, NML is a great member of our community. But, you know, our Parks Department right now, Parks Director and her entire staff, they're busier than one-armed paper hangers. To get funds raised to develop this park, to put in trails, to do things that we need, it's going to take time. And so I'm just going to be blunt and come right out and ask, would NML be willing to take on the challenge of raising the corporate sponsorship, you know, the type of significant money that we're going to need to be able to develop this park and make it useful to the citizens of the county and you know, do what the sewer PAC plan is telling us to do, is, you know, make this an active park, make it useful. Because I frankly don't see them being able to do it, and they got so many needs in so many other parks that my concern is if it falls down through the cracks, we're going to concentrate on other issues, and for the next 50 or 100 years, we're going to have a bare piece of land that the taxpayers of this county own that they can't walk on, enjoy, or use because of the lack of trails or any other amenity there. Is NML willing to take on that and help us out here?
I can answer that. No, we wouldn't be right at this point in time. We're interested in working with you on that. We've talked briefly about what's your vision. And again, we're taking the back seat to this. We're not trying to tell you what your park should look like. You have experts who know how to do parklands. We don't. We've talked how to make the connections so that we can put trails in. Something we talk about, but would we commit to it? No, we wouldn't commit to that. We need to know what your plan is, first of all, and your vision. We haven't gotten to that. I mean, we spent, I guess, 4 or 5 years on this to try to assemble these pieces. I don't think your staff wanted to spend a lot of time figuring out the trails system till you walk it and understand and frankly own it. We're hoping to talk to you about that at some point in time, but we wouldn't commit to it now. We couldn't do that.
But again, I would say based on past performance and the general attitude consistently displayed by Northwestern Mutual, I think we can only expect good reason and assistance at some point in the future to be likely.
Yes. Oh, we'd like to. We have a great relationship with the county, and your staff have been outstanding. We want to continue doing that. We'll be happy to work with you or talk to you. But I think your question is, will we commit to fund X dollar amount now? We've not even talked about that, so I couldn't authorize something like that.
My thinking is not, you know, commit to a dollar amount, and I wouldn't expect anybody other than the Parks Department to create the vision for the park. But once they do that, the Parks Department's going to determine, hey, you know, we need this kind of money to make this development go, and we need somebody who, you know, is going to be able to step up and try to help them foster some of this fundraising, be it from the corporate world or wherever, to try to help. And I think that's where our situation comes in, is that, I mean, quite frankly, they just don't have the staff to be able to take on that type of an endeavor.
If I may just chime in to perhaps give a slightly different perspective, that Northwestern Mutual will be a natural partner in that process in the future, and I think to demonstrate their commitment going forward, all you have to do is look at what's before you right now. Kevin Kennedy's sole job here was to assemble this opportunity, something the Parks Department could not do on its own at no cost to the county, and to deliver this opportunity. And it may well be that these lands would be best in their natural state for the foreseeable future, but when and if the Parks Department does put together a plan that it may want to pursue, its neighboring landowners, such as Northwestern Mutual, are the natural partners for that. And NML, just looking at its past performance and commitment, I think is a sign of what it would be able to do in the future.
I understand, but I don't think NML did this completely 100% out of the kindness of their heart. I mean, there is a profit at the end of it for them. So.
Yeah, it's they're both. I mean, frankly, a lot of what we want to do is make this a very nice area. We truly want to do that. We did put walking trails on our piece, but they aren't nearly as nice as the woods we're talking about here. It's just a prairie that you kind of walk around. I am hopeful that the piece that you're wondering on the value, that I'm hoping we can recapture some of the money that, and I'll share, I really don't want to share publicly the amount of money, but it's a lot of money. It's hard, very hard to get 9 people to just say, yep, I'll sell you at that price. And I guarantee you in every instance, it's far more than the appraisal value is, because that assumes people are wanting to sell the land as opposed to, well, you want to buy my land? You know, that increases the value there. And we do want to see nature trails and things like that there, because we've got, right now, 2,000 people right across the street, and, you know, future potential, who knows how many will be there. And it's a very nice woods, and that's really what we do want to see. So do I hope to sell that land someday? Yes, I do. However, it needs a lot of infrastructure, but you got to get roads to it. It doesn't have access now. You got to get sewer, water, all those types of things. We have no plans to do anything right now with it. It'll sit like that for the foreseeable future. We have no plans to do anything, but I do hope to recapture some of the money that we spent, which I'd share with you privately, but I really don't want to do it publicly if I can avoid that, the dollar amounts that we're spending here. So it's both.
Thank you. Director Black.
Yeah, Chairman, Supervisors, that's what I wanted you to explain, is what were your plans were with the land. Could you just elaborate a little bit more on what your plans are?
Oh, the pieces that we did up with? No. Or the other side. Okay. On the east of 27th Street, across the street from us right now, right there, we own, those are farmlands. We farm them now. They're ag lands, and they were ag lands, and we continued to farm them. Down at the corner, it was a boot store. We tore that down. It was a vacant store. We tore that down, and it's sitting vacant right now, or just a piece of asphalt. We will be working actively, especially as the economy starts to improve, to figure out what to do there. And we hope to tie it in with the piece along the freeway. You know, make it this whole block. I mean, we're trying to do something that is a good master plan for the whole block, but we don't have It's not done. I mean, the economy will be the economy, you know, whether it's residential, whether it's something else. We'll have to wait and see what the economy does. And right now, it would be really bad to have holes in the ground hoping somebody would buy it later on. We're glad we're not in that position. It'll sit until we think the economy improves to develop something there.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Yep. I appreciate your time and thoughts on this. Yep. Thank you.
John Lunds?
Mr. Chair and supervisors, I thank you for the opportunity to speak on this. I didn't plan to, but after listening for all this time, I felt I just had to say something to put things in perspective. There are, 15,000 acres of county parks that we have? We have a natural areas coordinator, Brian Russert, who's doing a bang-up job. Well, incidentally, I'm not speaking on behalf of Preserve Our Parks, as many of you people know I do once in a while, but I will tell you I'm also on the board of the Park People, and I'm the environmental chair. And I'm responsible for the Weed Out program, which is a volunteer-driven program in our county parks. Now, that said, Brian Russert, our natural areas coordinator, serves on our environmental committee, and he does a bang-up job. He says that of the 15,000 acres of our parks, 10,000 of them are under his jurisdiction as natural areas, quote-unquote natural areas. So what we're talking about here is breaking his back by adding 35 acres, giving him a grand total of 10,000, 35 acres to maintain. I like to look at the Eshanaga Woods that we'll be gaining and the whole situation with Falk Park kind of in context of the Cudahy Nature Preserve across the road from Mitchell Field. That is a state natural area, state designated natural area. And Brian and his crew consists of what, Sue? Two interns? I mean, he doesn't have a really big staff, and he manages to do a bang-up job with almost nobody on his staff. So adding this amount of acreage to it with this land swap is certainly not going to overwhelm any of our staff, and I hope everyone understands that point. Another point that I'd like to make is that we have less than 1% of our county that is now in open space. And that open space is really required. Well, but what I mean by open space is not open ag fields. That's not considered open space. That's been developed, even though it's been developed for agriculture. What I'm talking about is the original land that was here back when the land surveys were made back in the 1830s and 1840s. We have less than 1% of that left in our county. And if we can protect that little bit that we have left, it is extremely important that we do that. And why is it important? Well, one thing we're looking at here is connectivity. And connectivity is extremely important for our wildlife. Nakia, the wildlife we have to have our deer being able to connect from Eshanadel up to Falk so they can eventually make it up to our neighborhoods. So we do need to have connectivity, not just for the deer, but for all our pollinators. The pollinators are the bottom end of our food web. I'm an electrical engineer. I'm not a botanist, but I'm learning an awful lot about biology just in learning of what we're doing to our natural areas and how we're destroying them systematically. We need our pollinators to pollinate our plants. That's the only way we get oxygen on this planet. And we need our native plants, we need our native pollinators, and we need to provide habitat for them. This plan does that, and it's an extremely important thing to be done. I've worked with some of the naturalists around the area that have walked that field at those areas before, and they're strongly in favor of this. There's absolutely no good reason why you should not approve this plan today. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Motion before us by Supervisor Cesar says to approve. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll. Yes, I'm sorry. Who wanted to be here? Supervisor Sandwell.
I had an amendment that I had been working on, and if I can just pass it out and try to get maybe some discussion. You know, I'm interested in trying to get something worked on. I'm sensitive to their needs to have this thing proceed, but I still have my concerns over funding issues.
Does the clerk have a copy? Here, you'll want to read this to please read it into the record. And Mr. Finnerty could use a copy, I'm sure.
Be it further resolved that the director, Parks Department, will engage the beneficiary of the land swap, Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance, to initiate a corporate sponsorship fund drive for the benefit of Falk Park and the newly obtained lands, and to provide a report back to the Committee on Parks, Energy, and Environment by March 2013 on the specific improvements agreed upon by the Parks Department and required funding amount that will be provided through the efforts of NML.
Is that clear to everyone?
Mr.
Are
Chairman,
you moving approval of that as an amendment, Supervisor?
I am, yes, but I'm interested in engaging some type of discussion. There are other alternatives to this as far as trying to invoke, you know, just some more, foster some more cooperation, you know, and maybe it includes things such as friends groups and things like that to kind of help. I think the overall intent here is not to to try to stall this, but just to try to reach out and say, you know, we'd like to have a little bit firmer commitment from the corporate world that that they're going to work with the Parks Department. This doesn't set an exact dollar figure. Nobody is tying anybody's hands to anything specific when it comes to money, but just to try to offer some help and make it in concrete that, you know, our Parks Department can count on some help when it comes to making this park useful for the citizens.
Understanding your intent here and having listened to the comments that have been made, I certainly would question whether these kinds of issues could be resolved in this forum at this time. It seems to me asking an awful lot, and I don't think we're going to enter into negotiations. I would think the suggested course of action here would be, given the entire committee having been assembled, is to we have a motion to approve. Let's see what the committee thinks on this by moving it forward. Supervisor Jurczyk.
Well, my alternative, and I'd like to encourage Northwestern Mutual, who indicates they've got this very beautiful campus on 27th Street, and I've seen it. You know, I'm old enough to have been one of those people that attended the 41 Twin. I won't tell you what kind of activities went on there. I would love to see Northwestern Mutual perhaps really form a Friends of Falk Park and use that as a vehicle to take ownership of Falk Park in terms of your employee use. I can imagine in summer that's going to be a great place to spend part of your lunch hour and so on. And it would be great if Northwestern Mutual became a Friends of Falk Park and put some energy and effort into that park the way so many of the other parks groups have done. I think that would be a great thing to do. I don't know that we can force someone to be charitable and so on, but having listened to you, I think it's something that you already appreciate, and I would encourage you to talk to one of the people who's very influential with the Friends, as is Lori Albano, who's out there. The parks people do great work, and we need groups to take ownership of individual parks, and since you're going to have such a you know, a relationship with Falk Park, perhaps a Falk Park Friends group would be very appropriate for your corporation to look at. So that would be my approach at this point. I don't know how the wording of this can really force Northwestern Mutual Life to initiate that. And I wouldn't want to, quite frankly, muck up the current resolution with language like that.
Well, the resolution is before us. Mm-hmm. The amendment, it's titled a resolution.
Sorry.
item is before us. If there's no further discussion, my tendency is to want to call a roll on this. If there is no further discussion, Supervisor Haas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It occurs to me that perhaps the gentleman who is the supervisor for this district can seek to undertake action similar to what I have pursued in the 14th district, where I have 9 county parks in that district, and I've been working to help start friends groups for every one of them. Humboldt already has Park Watch, and Holler Park largely takes care of itself, which makes my task a little easier. But still, there's 7 to go. This is one park in the one district. I imagine there are many more, of course, and I mean no disrespect by that. But perhaps the supervisor for this district can undertake a similar action to draw up community interest, if not business interest, in forming the Friends of Falk Park. I offer that as a friendly suggestion. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? On the item before us, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
No.
Cesars?
No.
Dmitrievich?
No.
Jurczyk?
No.
Sanfilippo?
Aye.
Harris?
No.
Mr. Chair?
No.
1 aye, 6 noes.
Item number 6 is now before us. Is there further discussion? Or have we finally exhausted it? I think we have. We have a motion to approve by Supervisor Cesars. Please call the roll.
Mr. Chair, just...
Yep.
And with the additional information we're going to get by March 15th.
Yes, that is understood. We are getting, as part and parcel, a report back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Cesars?
Aye.
Dmitrievich?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
No.
Harris?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
6 aye, 1 no.
Director Black.
I just want to let you know that we've been at this for over 5 years. And I just want to thank everybody involved in that, from Kevin Haley to Jim Keegan to Tom Blotz to the DNR to the National Park Service to the Department of Interior to DAS to A&E to the County Board. And I understand it's a long discussion in what we're doing, but this is probably one of the most complicated land exchanges that I've been through with LawCon and what have you. But at the same time, I want to say that I understand Supervisor Sanfilippo in trying to make the best deal for the Parks Department and the taxpayers, and I think Northwestern Mutual and the Finnerty Group know that I have been actively pursuing that as well. So I appreciate everyone's contribution to this complicated transaction.
Thank you. Item number 7, please.